Welcome to First and Felony, the true crime podcast. We explore the crimes committed by athletes. This episode is going to be a little different. We're going to have a few stories that have been in the news recently. Former Texas A&M and Miami Dolphins linebacker Antonio Armstrong and his wife Dawn were fatally shot in their home in Houston, likely by their 16-year-old son. Dawn was pronounced dead at the scene, while Antonio was pronounced dead at a local hospital. The New York Daily News reported that their son called 911 about 1:30 a.m. on July 29th to confess his actions. Police found a gun with a note reading, "I've been watching you," next to him. Armstrong's other children, daughter age 12 and son age 20, were also in the home, but were unharmed. Initially, their son claimed a masked man had killed his parents, but conflicting stories shifted the focus to the 16-year-old son. The 16-year-old turned off the security system when police arrived and let them in. Harris County District Attorney spokesman Jeff McShann said he will likely be charged with capital murder. The teen denies committing the murder, according to his defense attorney, Rick DiToto. Antonio Armstrong was 43, and Dawn was only 42. The latest appeal by the state in the Oscar Pistorius case has been dismissed by Judge Thokozile Masipa. Judge Masipa, who heard the original trial and sentenced Pistorius in July, said she did not agree with the state's argument that she treated Pistorius too kindly.
I would like to believe that if Reva could look down upon me, that she would want me to live that life.
Prosecutor Jerry Nell said Masipa had too much Malden sympathy for Pistorius and his disability and anxiety disorder when she waived the 15-year minimum sentence.
I don't want to go back to jail. I don't want to have to waste my life.
The state can petition the Supreme Court of Appeals to overturn the judge's decision, but has not indicated whether or not it will seek to do so.
At that point, I knew that I'd killed her. I knew that she was dead. And I went down on my knees and pulled her onto me.
Osa Messina, a linebacker for the University of Southern California, has been suspended for the season opener against Alabama for what the athletic department called a violation of team rules. According to a report from Deadspin, those violations are a direct result of Messina being investigated for his role in two separate sexual assaults, one occurring in Utah and one in California. Sergeant Dan Bartlett of the Cottonwood Heights Police Department in the Salt Lake City County area and both the Los Angeles PD are investigating the case. USC released the following statement to the media in regards to this matter. USC is aware of the investigation involving student-athlete Osa Messina. USC is cooperating fully with the authorities in Utah, the lead agency in the investigation. Due to privacy laws and to protect the rights of our students, we are not able to discuss the matter further. The Cottonwood Heights PD met with Messina, but have not arrested or charged him yet, but have issued a search warrant in relation to the case. This next story doesn't involve an athlete. It involves a sportscaster. But I find it interesting and bizarre at the same time, so I thought I'd share it with you. San Diego sportscaster Kyle Kroska hired Mike Montana in October 2014 to paint his house for $3,000. Kroska paid $800 up front, but refused to pay the remaining $2,200 until Montana finished the job. Montana, enraged by the fact Kroska refused to pay, left a note under Kroska's doormat that read, "It's in your best interest to pay me the money that you owe." On February 8, 2015, about 3 p.m., Montana waited for Kroska to get into his car, walked up and shot out the tires, fired into the engine, and hit Kroska in one of his arms, his left leg, and twice in the chest. Kroska dove out of his car, but dove back in when Montana continued to shoot. In all, 11 shots were fired. Kroska couldn't dial 911 because his phone was shattered. Kroska crawled a short distance before a friend who saw the shooting dialed 911.
Flashes of that incident again. I wrote him a check to get his supplies, expecting to see him the next day at 7 a.m., and he didn't show up. When I rolled down the window, he said, "You should have paid me the $2,200. I remember hearing just what sounded like exploding glass. I looked down and realized I had been shot. I looked down and saw holes in my clothing. I saw blood. And I remember saying out loud, "You shot me." So I dove back into the car and again heard shots while I laid there in my car. It was complete chaos.
Montana was arrested shortly afterward. During the trial, defense attorney Richard Jayakumar told the jury Montana was intoxicated on a barrage of prescription pills he got after two back surgeries from 2011. Judge Michael Smith handed down quite a harsh sentence for Montana's actions.
Over the actions in this case, so being so clearly targeted towards a particular goal and the steps taken in pursuit of that goal, there's no escaping, in my view, what the jury found, which is that it was a premeditated attempt to kill Mr. Kraska. The following fines and fees are imposed. There's a restitution fine of $10,000. An additional restitution fine of $10,000 will be stayed. A court security fee of $160. An ICNA fee of $120. And a CJAF fee of $154. Therefore, Mr. Montana, is the judgment and sentence of this court that probation be denied, that you be committed to the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation for the term of life with the possibility of parole, plus 25 years to life, plus 3 years and 8 months.
It's worthy to note, Montana was previously convicted of making criminal threats against two other people. First, Montana left threatening voicemails at the San Diego Rowing Club in 2012 after being asked to not ride his jet ski through the annual regatta. Montana also threatened a DMV employee he unsuccessfully tried to have a fine waived. He said he could do whatever he wanted and would go home and get a machine gun and blow everyone up.
Former Stanford swimmer Brock Turner set to be released Friday from Santa Clara County Jail after serving just 90 days following three felony convictions for sexually assaulting an intoxicated and unconscious female. All of this igniting a firestorm against Santa Clara Superior Court Judge Aaron Persky, who presided over the case.
Sources here tell us he will receive no special treatment. We also know he will have to report to probation for 3 years, which means frequent drug tests and no alcohol, and he will have to register as a sex offender for the rest of his life.
This entire case just showed that if you commit sexual assault to an unconscious woman on the Stanford campus in California, that you spend a summer internship in jail.
California state legislators also made some changes, recently passing a bill to the governor closing a loophole that allowed for such short sentences.
Brock Turner's crimes will be covered in a future episode of First and Felony. 18-year-old high school basketball player David Becker was charged with two counts of rape and one count of indecent assault.
According to police documents, in April, two of Becker's female classmates each told investigators they were sleeping after a house party and each woke up to the 18-year-old assaulting them separately.
Becker admitted to sexually assaulting one victim, according to the police report, but did not plead guilty when appearing in court.
In an interview with police, Becker allegedly denied having any contact with one of the alleged victims and said that when the other didn't protest, he thought it was okay.
A judge ruled that Becker will receive a continuance without a finding, meaning he won't be charged with anything immediately.
David Becker won't spend a single day behind bars. Becker's allowed to serve his probation in Ohio, where he had planned to go to college. If he completes it successfully, he won't have to register as a sex offender, and he won't even have a record because those charges will be dismissed.
David has been punished publicly, privately, and internally. And incarceration and a conviction for a felony and sex registration requirements are not what David needs. He does not need the jail door slammed on his opportunity to attend college.
Public outrage erupted, and a petition that received 36,000 signatures for the removal of the judge and a review of the case were declined by Chief Justice of Massachusetts District Court Paul Dawley.
Massachusetts Governor's Counselor Michael Abano charged the district attorney of dismissing the two counts of rape and only keeping the count of indecent assault and battery. Under Massachusetts law, rape carries a possible life in prison sentence. Thank you so much for listening to First in Felony. We'll be back with a new episode on Darren Sharper, an NFL star and serial rapist. Please follow the show on Twitter at First in Felony. You can email the show anytime at firstinfelony@gmail.com and join the conversation on Facebook. Please rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. It helps us out a lot. And you can find the show, show notes, sources, etc. on my website, ffpod.net. I apologize for the sound quality. Our studio is currently undergoing some remodeling.
The following fines and fees are imposed. There's a restitution fine of $10,000. An additional restitution fine of $10,000 will be stayed. A court security fee of $160. An ICNA fee of $120. And a CJAF fee of $154.